Time with Raheel and Dale. Give them a call at 713-439-1560. Yeah, that's right. I called you G-Bag.
Welcome back to Game Time. I am Raheel Ramzani. Dale Olele to the left of me. And when it's around 11 o'clock, it can only mean one thing on Game Time on a beautiful Sunday. It's time for the folks from AstrosDaily.com to join us. And joining us from the website today is Willie B., who's been a big friend of the show and a big Astros guy for us. Willie B., how you doing this morning?
Pretty good. It's a beautiful day up here in the Texas Hill Country, too.
Nice. See, that's summer right there. The Texas Hill Country in the summer, go down to Lake Travis, doesn't get any better.
Actually, I'm around Canyon Lake, but we finally had some rain yesterday, and that kind of cleared the air a little bit, and it's really nice. Before we dive into the Astros, though, first, guys, I want to talk to y'all about something. That little bit earlier where y'all were singing along with Miley Cyrus, that's a desperate cry for help.
Oh, come on. That's a beautiful segment. Dale loves Miley Cyrus. I think I enjoy her work. It's not a big deal. We're all about the people, and the people right now support Miley Cyrus. She talks about
y'all,
love.
Y'all need to get out and listen to some real music, like at Green Hall or Flores Country Store, and have a cold lunch.
See, I don't know what he said.
I'm trying to tell him that, but they don't want to listen.
Did you get a good laugh out of it?
Yeah, I got a nice one.
That's what we're aiming for.
We're all about entertaining the folks. Willie B., now all laughs aside, all jokes aside, all the beautiful weather aside, the Astros go back to their losing ways last night. They go into the ninth inning with the lead. They send Brocale out because Valverde was not available, according to Cecil Cooper. What do we do with this team? What do we do with this team in the ninth?
You know, I don't know. I was in such a good mood yesterday. I'd been to a little family reunion in San Antonio and came back and flipped it on and saw the rainbow uniforms, and that even took me back into another little trip down nostalgia lane. And then just to blow it, that's the third time we've lost in the this week and the other team's final at bat, and that's just not a good way to lay your head down on Saturday night.
When you look at that, you look at how they've lost. It's a tough thing because you send your ace out there, Valverde, who's supposed to close out games for you, supposed to do his job. He blows it earlier in the week, and whether it be because he didn't get enough at work, he didn't get work in, or he didn't get enough time to get in because the Astros were getting blown out the week before. I mean, do you send him out? Do you send him out yesterday, or do you trust Brocale and see if the veteran can get it done?
Well, I don't know. If Cecil thought he didn't have enough in him to go out, I got to go with Cecil's judgment on that. But you know, the thing is, guys, it's been something different every game. It's the starting pitching one game. It's the fact we don't have offense another game. And then this last week, we've seen the bullpen come in and contribute to the losses. So it's not just one fix for this team right now.
How does it affect the players when you know going to the ninth inning, at least with the recent history, that we've got a chance to maybe not come out with a victory? Does that wear on players thinking we've gone through eight innings, we're in the lead, but then that ninth inning is going to be a pressure cooker for us and the pitcher on the mound? Does that affect how players play, thinking to themselves, we've done all we could, it's up to our pitcher, and we might not get out of this with the victory?
Oh, it's got to be in the back of their mind. It's like watching some Little League games up here, and a team will have a big lead, and all of a sudden the manager will have to pull a pitcher because of pitch counts or innings, and you can just see some of the other kids in the field, their shoulders kind of drop, and because the pitcher that's coming in just isn't very good. So it's got to be in the back of their minds. I'm not in the clubhouse, so I don't know if it's weighing on them real heavy, but hopefully they can come out today and just get off to a good start, get a run or two early against this Kazmir kid who's been one of the best pitchers in the league the last 6 weeks. So that it's going to be real important to get a quick run or two off him today.
You look at the week that was, and with the Rays tonight, or in a few hours actually, as you mentioned, Kazmir, who's been impressive so far into the season, but you look at the week that was, you lose all three to Baltimore, you start off last Sunday with the loss to the Yankees 13-0, Can we take any positives out of those losses, or do we just accept it and know that the Astros are not a good team?
Oh man, I can't take anything positive out of the last two or three weeks now, at least from the losses. A couple of the wins, we've seen Roy have some good outings in there. He's yet to really string together really strong back-to-back outings. But no, there's nothing positive I can take from some of these losses this week, especially since we could have easily we could be going into today's game with a 4-1 record on this road trip right now, and that would have really helped turn things around.
And they come back here on Tuesday with the Rangers for three games and Boston for three games. Looking ahead a little bit, looking back a little bit, the month of June, when you can count the wins on one hand, you know it's not a good month.
Oh, no, this has been horrible the way we followed up May. But it goes back also to the old saying that you're probably never as good as you seem to be when you're on a good streak, and you're not quite as bad as you are when you're on a bad streak. But this has been one of the worst streaks that I can remember in recent times.
All right, let's get Ryan Ed joining the boards here from the boards on AstrosDaily.com. Ryan Ed is also going to join us. Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
All right, now, how good do you feel about this team?
Well, right now, I'm really discouraged with the way they've been playing for quite a while. But, I'm hoping they'll turn it around. But, it looks like it's going to be a long road ahead.
All right, do you have any questions for Willie B?
I wanted to ask Willie what he thought about Michael Byrne and his on-base percentage. He's been doing a little better lately. I think he got it up close to .290. But I'm wondering if Willie thinks that Michael Byrne is going to be a long-term solution.
Willie?
I just heard something about Michael Byrne. I didn't really hear what the exact question was.
Yeah, Ryan Ed said Michael Bourne's on-base percentage has gone up a little bit. What do you think about that, and how good do you think he can be now?
Well, the guy can be really good if he can just start to show some of those signs. The on-base percentage couldn't have gone much lower, so it almost had to go up. The discouraging part right now is even though he is getting some hits, he's still not taking very many pitches. I think he's only drawn two or three walks that I can remember seeing him draw or hearing draw on the radio the last 3 weeks. So I'm just not sure he's the answer in the leadoff position, but I know there's a lot of pros and or cons, I guess, against putting Hunter Pence up there. The sky's the limit for this guy if he can just turn it around, but right now he's not showing me very much as far as plate discipline.
Hey, Ryan Ed, anything else for Willie B?
No, Raheel, I just wanted to say that, I have to apologize that I haven't called into the show the last 2 weeks, but, I just want to tell you that I'm always listening to the show, and I enjoy listening a lot, and I just wanted to say that, hopefully I'll call more in the future. I've been sick for a while, so I'm just trying to feel better.
Hey, Ryan, get your health back together, and please do call the show. We're all about the callers, and Ryan, I know you've been a loyal listener, so we are looking forward to your calls, and we'll talk some more Astros next week.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Willie B, getting back to the Astros month that's coming up now with the Rangers and Boston coming in, is there any way they can salvage the month of June by maybe taking two out of three from the Rangers, one or two from the Red Sox, and one from the Dodgers on the final day of the month? Is there any way they can salvage the month, or is this month just dead for us?
Well, the month's pretty much over. Even if we win both these next two series and take that first game from the Dodgers, it's still going to be a lousy month. The game that I'm really interested in seeing this next week is next Friday, because Matt Soustaka is supposed to pitch for Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, if this lineup can't go up there and be a little bit patient and wait for a good pitch, because this guy is all over the map. Even before he went on the DL, he was walking people left and right.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a good barometer for the rest of summer. If they can't take pitches and wait for good pitches off Dice K, it's going to be an awful long summer.
And it looks like the plate discipline early in the season was really bad for some of the young hitters with the breaking balls and pitches that were away. Hunter Pence comes to mind. Matt Suzuki is going to be throwing a lot of stuff that is not hittable, and if they do show patience, you're right, they could get some runs on him, but if they don't, it'll just be the story of June in one game, is that you run into a pitcher and just can't get anything going. It seems like anytime any Astros lineup faces a pitcher, it seems like it's, oh, we ran into a good pitcher. It's not that our lineup is better, it's that pitcher was just that much better that day. At what time do you stop that excuse? Because it's always been, oh, the pitcher was just had, you know, he had a good day and he was a little bit better.
Well, that's gonna that's the way baseball is. Sometimes you run into a guy that you know, it's the old adage. You either some days you're the windshield and some days you're the bug. But this is something that, and hopefully they're going to rely a little bit on some scouting, that any kind of suggestions and help that Kaz Matsui can give them this week about the guy. But there's really no excuse for the heart of this order. You can make some excuses for Bourne. You can make a few excuses for Pence. But some of these guys that have been around for a few years, going up there just hacking, it's just not going to cut it against Dice K.
Hey, we have Bob online who once again questions. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, Willie, turnabout's fair play.
Hey, how you doing, Bob? Good morning.
Willie called me last week.
So. Oh, okay, nice. Okay, Bob Holsey joins us now. Del, right. Now you had a question regarding the Astros, so let's get that on.
Okay. Yeah. Essentially, with the vast number of players that were turned over during the offseason, who would you say is the most surprising? Who has either outperformed or underperformed way more than what you anticipated coming into the season?
Well, I mean, I was hoping and expecting a little bit more out of Michael Bourne. You know, it seems like we've been burned so often in the last 20 years or so with these speedy center fielders that come up. I remember Eric Yelding and Gerald Young and Brian Hunter that kind of come to mind. We thought we were going to have these speedy leadoff guys and speedy outfielders, and they just didn't pan out. But Bourne's been a little disappointing. Geary's been, I think, a little better than I kind of thought he would be. Valverde's been peaks and valleys, which I sort of expected. And Tejada. I tell you, if there's one guy, Tejada has really shown me more than what I thought. I didn't really think that was a great trade we'd made, but right now that's looking like one of the better trades we've made. Even though Luke Scott's having a pretty good year for him, for the Orioles, Tejada. If you can imagine where we'd be right now without him and with Everett. If we still had Everett at shortstop, we'd really be sucking pond water right now.
Hey, Willoughby, outside of making a run, getting back into the playoff chase, what would be a positive way for the Astros to, I guess, get into September? What would you look for the Astros? What should Astro fans look for, obviously, outside of getting into a playoff position and once getting into September?
Well, it's just they've got to quit finding ways to lose. It's the whole, like I was saying earlier, it's a different aspect of the game, it seems, every game. One night it's the bullpen, or for a week it's the bullpen, and for a week it's the starting pitching. And when we do get good pitching, then the hitters just don't turn it over. So just playing a more complete game and being a little competitive. And what I think would be fun, too, is even if we don't make the playoffs, and I didn't really anticipate that this year, is if we could spoil one of those other teams, the Cubs or the Cardinals, from making it, that would be just wonderful with me.
Oh, that's always fun when you play spoiler. And with this team, I mean, obviously pitching is a thing that they need to upgrade on. Do you see any trade deadline moves coming in?
You know, I've tried to outguess Drayton McLean in that front office for a while now, and I know Drayton, and I appreciate his philosophy on wanting to win now and not really throw the towel in and play for the next year or build for the next year. So that's a tough call. I just don't see anybody out there right now that would necessarily really help us. It's not like we're just one player away, I don't think, especially on the mound right now.
The month of July should be a little bit better. You get the All-Star break. The Astros can regroup there. Lance Berkman and Miguel Tejada will be going out to New York. And the rest, I guess you just go from there. Hopefully the Cubs slip a little bit, the Cardinals slip up a little bit, and you can try for the wild card spot. No, you know, it's going to be a long month. It's going to be a long season, the rest of the season, but we have to take some positives out of it, right?
Oh, yeah, we do. And I didn't really expect it. I thought 83 wins was as good as we could do this year. Right now, that's going to be a stretch to just get to 500 for the end of the season. But just play a little bit more competitive and all-around good baseball, you know, but make it fun to come to the park and watch them play.
That's all we can kind of expect from the team as fans. Bob and Willie B. from AstrosDaily.com, their weekly segment. Willie B., thanks a lot for joining us and kind of giving us some hope. some hope, just a little bit, and bring us back to earth that they are an 83-win team. They're not going to be in the playoff hunt, but you got to take some positives.
Hey, that's right. And you guys put down the Miley Cyrus CDs and get up to Green Hall and get a cold long neck at some point this summer. I'll even buy it for you.
Willie B., this song is for you, Miley Cyrus. How about
that? You guys have a great Sunday.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, Bob and Willie B. from AstrosDaily.com. Go to their website for the best Astros information on their history. They have the best chronicled history of the Houston Astros, and they say it's even better than the team website. So you check it out and you let us know. Coming up next, I want to talk about the Olympics coming up and how important is an Olympic gold for NBA players. We'll talk a little bit about that and Kevin Garnett's celebration that got some comparisons with a bass fisherman. We'll hear that next on Game Time.